Hey, now when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
People, hello out there in Radio Land. You are listening to Blood River Radio. Like our commercial says, we are the only radio station in the United States that I'm aware of that our sole mission is to fight global white genocide in any way we possibly can. And matter of fact, we here at Blood River Radio, we don't really envision ourselves long term as a radio station. We look at ourselves as a in the future to be a white civil defense group with many divisions, many organizations involved. Maybe we're dreaming too much. Maybe it's a bridge too far, but that's what we strive for. And with God on our side, nothing's impossible. By the way, that song you just heard before we go to the prayer, that song you just heard was requested by our dear brother, Ike Baker. I started to play the whole thing. It was really, maybe we'll play the whole thing later. It is a wonderful marching tune. I'm not kidding you. I love that song. And what our brothers at the League of the South want, they get it, Blood River Radio people, because they are the real deal. Like I said, in case I forgot, it is Father's Day, June the 20th. Tomorrow, actually, is Father's Day, but we're not on the radio tomorrow. So happy Father's Day to all you people out there. And I guess I should say happy Father's Day eight times to Sam because he has eight kids. But he's running a distant second to Kurt, who has 11 kids, folks. And I asked Sam, how come you don't have catch up with Kurt? He says, because he run out of mojo. I said, well, I done run out of mojo, son, so I guess we're done. But anyway, people, you know the drill here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read just a short scripture. And then instead of me saying the prayer like I usually do, we're going to go to Dr. Hill. And there are several reasons I want Dr. Hill. I like to call him General Hill. The reason I want him to say the prayer is because he is the leader of the League of the South. He's got more responsibility than I do. I look up to the man. He's one of the few people left on earth that I respect. And also, get this. He said the prayer before he went into Charlottesville in that fateful day in August the 12th of 2017, when we fought the Battle of Charlottesville. That dear man led us in prayer, and that's probably one of the reasons we got out alive. People, if you will, I'm going to read this quick scripture and do a little interpretation, then we're going to go right to Dr. Hill with a prayer. Here we go. We're in 2 Chronicles, it looks like, if I can read, 7th chapter. We're going to start the 12th verse. It says, the Lord's covenant with Solomon. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard their prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. People, what the man's saying right here is you got to read into this. The man can send drought. He can send pestilence. He can send earthquakes. He can send anything. And you know why he does it? To get our attention. When we get out of line, when us Christians start imitating these godless pagans that hate us, then he's going to send scunion upon us. He's going to send hell on us. And the only way we can get out of this crap that's going on right now, that with all these Antifa marching in the streets, with all this corona beer virus, the only way we're going to escape this, we can resist and we can fight. We're commanded to stay here and fight. We're not commanded to win. We're commanded to obey and fight. And that's what we're going to do. And before we go any further, before I ask Dr. Hill to go to prayer, I'm going to introduce my two brothers. We have Dr. Michael Hill, who is the head honcho. He's the director of the League of the South. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Hill?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Eddie. Good to be on here with you.
It's great to be with you. And we also have Ike Baker. He's the chief of public relations. He takes all complaints. If anybody has any praise or complaints, if you complaints, you go see him. He'll be the guy with the black hood on. And he's the one you want to see with your complaints. And I tell you what, we ain't never had nobody come back and complain again after we see the guy with the black hood. You got to go up the stairs, too. He's the guy with that shiny axe in his hand. But it works every time. But anyway, I cannot tell you guys how happy I am to have you tonight. I was informed that you two guys have almost as much piss and vinegar as I do. And I will second that motion. But anyway, my dear brother, Dr. Hill, would you mind leading Blood River Radio in prayer?
I certainly will, Eddie. Let's bow our heads and pray to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on us as a people, your people. We ask you in these evil days that stand before us to give us wisdom, to give us courage. I ask you also to let the enemies, and our enemies are many, I pray that you'll let them fall into the pits that they're digging for us, that you'll confound their counsel, and break their teeth, as the Bible tells us to pray these imprecatory prayers in your name. We do so and acknowledge you as the Lord of hosts, the Lord of battles. Let us be your warriors and give us victory in your name and in the name of your Son and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that, my dear brother. And since it is Father's Day, I have a card here. I'd like to read this card if you gentlemen would bear with me. It's from my grandson. My world revolves around that young man. He's 25 now. He's a college graduate and he's working. I won't say where he's working because you know who would probably be out to get him, but I'm very proud of him. He's doing really well. Here's what he sent. He sent me this card. So like I say, he's 25 years old. He used to go to he graduated from a well-known a religious school here in Memphis, but when he used to come home from school every day, I would deprogram him with some of the stuff they were feeding him. Anyway, here's the card he sent me. Happy Father's Day to the greatest gift and the greatest role model God could ever bless someone with. I learn more from you consistently every day, and I can't tell you how much adoration I have for you. I hope to be a fraction of the man you are someday. I love you with all my heart, Papa. Love, Blake. And I tell you what, people, you cannot buy that. Money will not buy that.
Congratulations, sir. You deserve
thank
it.
You. Congratulations to you. And we'll come back, people. I'll just name a few donors, and we will go right, because we can't neglect our donors. We'll go right back to Dr. Hill and dear Ike Baker, Chief of Operations for the League of the South.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Well, people, we're right back. And before I go back to my great brothers, I'm going to read, I mentioned our donors, and it's not a chore. I love to do this. We have Hank in Florida, who's not only a donor, he's one of my brothers. He's one of my chief cheerleaders. Believe it or not, sometimes I get discouraged and get down. And sometimes I complain to people I can confide in. And he sent me a great pep talk today. And I want to thank you, Hank. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for money that helps keep us on the air. Like I said before, we're trying to get enough money to pay Sam a year in advance, and we're over halfway there now. So come January 1st, I think, we need to come up with enough cash to keep us on the air for another year, because it not only does it benefit us, we take advantage of Sam because he gives us a better deal. We get extra time if we pay a year in advance. Like I say, we're halfway there. And Sam also, he struggles. He lets us get by with murder. I mean, the guy is straight up. No one else, there's nobody else in the United States would let us come on the air and say what we say. So I'm thanking Sam, too. I consider Sam probably our biggest donor. Also, I want to thank Janice, who's in Tennessee. She is the wife to one of our dear brothers, Rich. I won't tell you where they live because you know who might try to go get them. Also, James Biscuit Allen in Florida. That's a great young man down there. He's donated to us and sent us nice little notes. He said, you know what, like everybody else, he brags on Gene Andrews more than me. And I told Gene, what the hell's going on? I'm supposed to be the star of this show. You're getting 10 times more mail than I do. Anyway, also, we'd like to thank James in Washington State, another great cheerleader. Yeah, that guy is rock solid. And we also have an honorary Southern Rebel. We can't mention his name because he's in a very, very sensitive position up north. But I'll just say he is our Southerner in heart, trapped behind enemy lines. And one of these days, he will come out and say who he is. Now, I'm going to shut the hell up and go back to Dr. Hill. Dr. Hill, where do you want to start tonight? I got a lot of material, but I want to start where you want to start, you and Ike.
Well, Eddie, I think that since this revolution is afoot, that's what we ought to talk about tonight. And indeed, it is a revolution, and I'll be even more specific. It's a communist revolution. Months ago, probably, to be quite honest, several years ago, I began to see these hallmarks appear, and they appeared more frequently, and they appeared clearer. And a year ago, I began to see the outline of something that I began calling the New Red Terror. And I've subsequently written three articles for the League of the South newsletter, the Free Magnolia, dealing with this New Red Terror phenomenon. But I say the New Red Terror, and by implication, that means that there was an old Red Terror. And what we had 100 years ago in Tsarist Russia, with what's known there as the Bolshevik Revolution, is coming to pass again today, just 100 years later, and it's the same cast of characters who are doing it this time as did it then, except this time they're coming from a different vantage point. At that time, they were outsiders. Over the last 100 years, and certainly over the last 80, since the end of World War II, they have done a quiet, and sometimes not quiet, occupation of virtually every institution in the West, and certainly in North America. These, what I call neo-Judeo-Bolsheviks, a simpler term for that would be Jew communists, are not the outsiders now, they're the insiders. They're what some people refer to as the deep state, the establishment, the elite, whatever, but, you know, they control the banking industry, the media, Hollywood, academia. They pretty much control the State Department. They control a large part of the Department of Justice. They also control other parts of the United States government. So what you have going on here is a revolution not from the bottom up, but from the top down, and the targeted victims of this revolution, this neo-Bolshevik revolution, this new red terror, are the white working and middle class. And they, so far, I don't believe, understand the severity and the gravity of what is facing them. And revolutions, when they come and go in a hurry. Either they fizzle out or they reach their goals. And there is no time simply to sit around and wonder what's happening. We have got to alert our people, to alarm our people as to what's going on before it is too late. Once these people seize the entire government apparatus, then it is absolutely too late for us to do anything effective within the current system. The only way would be then to leave the system or do something outside of it. And when you do something outside of the system, you're an outlaw. So this is how severe this revolution is getting. And I hope we can spend our time today discussing this, because a lot of us have been predicting it for, you know, at least a quarter of a century in the League of the South here. And it's coming to fruition. It's coming to pass, just like we predicted it would. This is the big event. And with it, so having said that, I'll throw it over to my friend and my chief of operations, Ike Baker.
Thank you, Dr. Hill. You know, we've watched America deteriorate all of our lives. In our youth, it was already going on. We just couldn't see it then because the rot was internal. The Hart-Celler Immigration Act of 1965 accelerated this, because this slammed the door on immigrants coming from nations where the founding stock of this country had originally come here and settled from, and it opened the door to the third world. I've seen it in several places that the Democrats knew they could never have their agenda prevail with the electorate that existed in America in the early part of the second half of the 20th century. And they knew that if they couldn't have their agenda with the electorate that existed, they needed to put another electorate in place. That's why you've seen formerly white cities run by responsible white Americans turn into absolute third world shitholes. Minneapolis is just like Mogadishu in Minnesota. There's footage of the riots and the destruction that these savages wrought on that formerly great city that makes it look exactly like Mogadishu. or Beirut during their civil war in the late 70s and early 80s. America, as an idea, is virtually dead at this point. We've known for a long time in the League and in a larger sense in white nationalism that this system can't be reformed. We're not going to vote our way out of this, not literally, at the very least. And at this point, as Dr. Hill, as you just said, sir, we've got absolute and utter lawlessness on the streets of American cities. I saw footage today, Atlanta, Georgia, formerly a great southern city. At this point, I wish Sherman would come back and just burn it down again. Black mobs are blocking traffic, doing their best to drag whites out of their cars, where I'm sure they just want to sit and have intelligent conversation, or not. And I saw something today that I saw for the first time. I saw blacks brandishing AR-15s, and a man chose not to be dragged out of his car. This is all, I happened to see it on Twitter earlier. This is videotaped, doesn't lie. As he drove through some of the protesters, I heard rapid gunfire. Now, it did sound to my somewhat experienced ear, it sounded like handgun fire. It didn't sound like that AR was brought into play, but that may have only been because he didn't have a clear shot. This has all changed. The government is not coming to save us. I think that's got to be clear. What this is doing is the expression we use a lot. It's red-pilling whites who weren't formerly red-pilled for whatever reason. Maybe they weren't exposed to blacks. I'll come back after the post if you don't mind, Eddie.
You got it. With the League of the South rules tonight, people. People will be right back with Dr. Michael Hill and Ike Baker, two great brothers from the League of the South. Hold on to your seats.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The head of the World Health Organization said the coronavirus pandemic is accelerating and that more than 150,000 cases were reported yesterday, the highest single-day number so far. In a briefing, WHO said nearly half of the newly reported cases were from the Americas, with significant numbers from South Asia and the Middle East. He said, "We're in a new and dangerous phase," warning that restrictive measures are still needed to stop the pandemic. The warning came that the virus is still spreading fast and the toll would be especially great on refugees, more than 80% of whom lived in mostly developing nations. New York City's Phase 2 reopening has been approved for Monday. The phase allows New Yorkers to dine and drink outdoors at restaurants and bars, shop, get their hair trimmed and styled, and take children to playgrounds with all social distancing and face covering. Governor Andrew Cuomo said, "Today we've done a full 180 from worst to first. We are now controlling the virus better than any state in the country." This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. You all know I'm a big believer in gold and silver, especially in a world of out-of-control government spending. Federal debt is exploding around the globe. Silver is up more than 25% in the past year, and many experts are predicting new highs in the coming years. For a limited time, my friends at Finest Note are making a deal for war fans, and I love deals. Finest Note has evolved over the past three decades from one of the largest rare coin and precious metals companies in America. I told my friends at Finest Note to go big or go home. They went big! Finest Note is offering up to 100 pure 1 ounce American Silver Eagles at dealer cost. The American Silver Eagle is the world's most popular silver coin. For a limited time, you can acquire a pure 1 ounce Silver Eagles at dealer cost. Here's the deal, folks. Throughout history, currencies have come and gone, but gold and silver have stood the test of time. Now may be the best time to acquire these time-tested hard assets, and there's no better place than Finest Note. Call Finest Note today and reserve 100 silver American Eagles. Call now at 800-663-1929. That's 800-663-1929, or go to finestnone.com.
An unprecedented number of U.S. companies are now giving employees off for Juneteenth, raising the hopes that the day commemorating the end of slavery could someday become a true national holiday. The momentum could hinge, however, on what the country's largest employer, the federal government, does in joining the trend. This date, June 19th, is not yet a federal holiday, and many non-black Americans have only recently become aware of the day. More than 460 major companies, including Nike, Twitter, and Lyft, have committed to observing Juneteenth, with the majority offering a paid day off, according to Hella Creative, a group of black creative professionals in the San Francisco Bay Area that launched an initiative to galvanize support for making the day an official holiday. Attorney General William Barr announced the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York will be stepping down, but Jeffrey Berman said in a statement he has not resigned. Berman oversaw the investigation into Michael Cohen, President Trump's longtime personal lawyer who pled guilty in November 2018 to lying to Congress. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people were talking about Dr. Michael Hill tonight, the director of the League of the South, and his chief of operations guy, Ike Baker. We're going to go back to him. I got a comment to make to Ike and maybe a question. You know, I read the new Red Terror in the League of the South, to Free Magnolia. I can highly recommend people to get that. And before, I know Dr. Hill will tell us how you can get it the night before we get off the air, but you need to get that and read it. It's fantastic reading. But I would say it's this probably the same old Red Terror. You know, they're operating in South Africa, the same old people, et cetera, et cetera. And Ike, back to you, son. You talk about the AR-15s. I can firsthand tell you, my grandson, he's the light of my life, he has one of his high school teammates or on his football team. He's now an ace sheriff's deputy. He says it is blood curdling. Every black you pull over, he said, every one of them got AR-15s. And so anyway, back to you, Ike.
Well, I'll just say this about that weapon. That's fine. That weapon requires a little bit of tender loving care to keep it running. It's not an AK-47. It's a direct impingement gas operated weapon. And if they don't take care of it, it'll stop working. Okay, I can absolutely promise you, myself and every other white man I know who's got an AR-15 or an M4 or what have you, we do know how to keep it running, and that'll become critical. Okay, but what I was really driving at before the post is this. What we've got going on right now are circumstances that we haven't actually seen before. It's open anarchy in the streets, completely coddled, completely encouraged by the Department of Justice, it seems, certainly by state governments, certainly by these city governments in these absolute dump Democrat run urban crawls. Okay, and listen, the whites who live in these cities, in large part, not all, but in large part, these are liberal, college educated, soft handed, soft hearted whites, full of all kinds of empathy for the BLM. These are just collaborators. They're anti-white whites. You know, not everybody is going to go on to the next step with us. But what this is doing, as I was saying right before the post, this is red-pilling working-class whites who, for whatever reason, may not have been aware of what's going on. We've discussed in the past the things that keep our people distracted. You know, sports ball, which is primarily black. I wouldn't waste the time watching a sports event. I wouldn't waste the money going to a sports event or anything. That's a ridiculous waste and misdirection of time, loyalty, and energy that belongs with your people, your own people, your family, and the future of your family. So what this is doing is red-pilling these people. They're going to come to us and organizations like us. We're a Southern nationalist organization. We're white nationalists because, by definition, a Southern nationalist is a white nationalist. But as long as they find our own, as I've said for a long time, arm up, tribe up, tempus fugit, Latin for time flies. And what's going on right now in these cities is alarming. It's not happened before, and the lawful authorities are allowing this to happen. I was on the way back from the gym today, and I passed a friend of mine on the road who I've lived near since I moved back up here 16 years ago, and we discussed what might happen if the Mau Maus find their way back all the way up here, which there'll be a lot of people like us they'll need to get through before they get up here. But here's what we're looking at. This is the mortal peril to these blacks down in the cities. They're accustomed to intimidating these passive, accommodated, college-educated, urban liberal whites. They're going to push too far. They're going to find they're out here where I live, where there's a class of heavily armed and mostly capable whites, very clannish by nature, in a lot of cases very prone to violence themselves. There's a huge preponderance of direct fire combat veterans amongst this population, especially since the endless wars for Israel in the sandbox since 2001. And these are whites for whom resorting to extra-legal means of conflict resolution is routine. They won't be intimidated into submission. They bear none of the white guilt or the leftist ideology which seems to rule the actions of our urban co-racialists. And the blacks who push for this result, they're going to find they've made a serious mistake for which they'll all suffer mightily. Now, that's not taking into account what Zog will do. And I really am convinced that any white men who arm up and form up and try to take a hand in this are going to see a completely different Zog and a completely different DOJ than Antifa, BLM, or the assorted anarchists have seen. Those are the thugs of the state. They're scared to death of us. Look how they did us at Charlottesville. Dr. Hill, what would you comment on that, sir?
Yeah, I believe you're absolutely right. What we've got here is we've got the street troops of Zog, and that's obviously, for those of you who don't know, Zionist occupied government. And the United States government has been Zog, Zionist occupied government, for a long time. That's what I was mentioning earlier. After, 100 years, and certainly since World War II, they've taken over the government. And now we're seeing what happens when there's left-wing lawlessness in the streets. It's encouraged. And that's the anarchy in my old friend, late friend Sam Francis's idea of anarcho-tyranny. The tyranny is what happens to white people when they try to resist. And we saw that in Charlottesville as well, and we are seeing it right now. And Ike is absolutely right. If you're a white man and you decide you're going to get together with some of your friends and you're going to arm up and you're going to go out in the streets and face down BLM or Antifa or whoever, you're going to be treated by a completely different set of standards, operating procedures from the FBI and the rest of the DOJ than their pets in BLM and Antifa are subjected to. And they won't be lenient on you. They won't look the other way. They won't slap you on the wrist. They will throw the damn book at you, and you'll end up spending a lot of time in federal prison. I guarantee you that's where this is headed, because once they get control of the DOJ completely and the rest of government, then anything you do will probably be considered insurrection, and the Insurrection Act will be invoked against you, and you'll be not only persona non grata, but you'll be an outlaw unless you knuckle under and kneel down to authority right away. And that means basically you're saying, okay, I'm going to be their slave. That's what I was saying earlier, what we've got here are the beginnings of a real revolution, a real communist, Bolshevik, Jew revolution. And you can think that's hyperbole if you wish, but you just stick around and you'll see, white man, you had better get yourself ready.
That's right. That's right. And the folks who don't believe that the ones pulling the strings are the tiny hats, the Jews, they're just ignoring the obvious. The Department of Justice is overwhelmingly those people. The media is overwhelmingly those people. They've hated the white man, and they've hated Western civilization since they crucified Christ. In the Middle Ages, they had the right idea about those coin-clipping, child-abducting little monsters. But with the advent of the Scofield Reference Bible and the invention of dispensationalism, our pastors, who used to be the moral strength of our people, they stand in the pulpit, these feminized little pretend men, and they convince good, upstanding people that our mortal enemies are the ones we have to love, or God won't love us. And that's
Amen.
One of the greatest crimes against our people that's ever happened.
It is.
Amen.
It is. Absolutely. Once the white man realizes who his real ancient enemy is, and he's not God's chosen people, he's just the opposite. He's the devil's children.
That's right.
The devil's child. Then white Christians of the old sense, of the old order, if you will understand what this fight is all about. This fight was promised us in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent are battling
yes.
it out right now in what I believe may be the ultimate fight in this great cosmic drama that's ongoing before us right now. And this revolution is real, people. It is a real revolution. It is not just disorder in the streets. The strings are being pulled here, and this is a multi-level operation, and I think we're in stage two of it right now. Stage one was the COVID-19 lockdown. What will stage three be? And it probably won't be very long until we find out. But let me tell you this, and Ike, I'll throw it back to you and let you comment on this. If you cannot defend your local community, if you cannot supply yourselves locally, that is from local farms and local craftsmen and all that, you need to start putting together or pulling together your neighbors and your friends and those people that you go to church with and you live around and telling them that before this is over, a strong community, a strong local community is going to be the best thing that a white man can have to fall back on, because this is what is going to happen. The cities and even the suburbs are going to be lost. They virtually are lost already. If the white man can't control the small towns and the countryside, he is done, done for. Get ready to do those things.
Well, people, we got to go to a quick break, and this is some kind of red hot but true radio. Hold on to your seats. We'll be right back. I'm going to ask Dr. Hill and Ike a question or two. Be right back.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Well, people, we're right back with two of my favorite, I guess my favorite guests in the whole world, Dr. Michael Hill and Ike Baker. Dr. Hill, we're seeing, and I'll tell you a little experience I had, Ike knows about it. I didn't even know that the Antifa and Black Lives Matter were downtown in Memphis. As everybody in his mama knows, I train for marathons year-round. I was running from, I ran from my house down to Memphis, downtown. We call the governmental center. What you have the Memphis City government building, Shelby County, Tennessee government building, state government building, and the federal building. And these scum have the run of the whole thing. Get this. Saw this with my own eyes. I sent photographs to Ike. Didn't know, like to say, I didn't know they were there. In my running shoes, my shorts, didn't have a shirt on because it was hot. And I started taking photographs of these people and ask a few questions to them. Get this. They have tent set up. They got sleeping bags set up. They got tables, little portable stoves. They got ice boxes. They got everything you can think of. Okay, I'm sitting there talking to these people, and guess who the cops came up to hassle? They hassled yours truly. I said, I'm just going to take a few more photographs. And they said, we don't think you are. Well, it'd be a good idea if you go ahead and move on. But the next time they told me to move on, it wasn't, it'd be a good idea. It's, you know, you're moving, you're gone. So, and I'm going to tell you what, before I go back to Dr. Hill, the urine in the air was stench just strong. They're urinating and defecating on the streets just like a bunch of rabid dogs, man. And Dr. Hill and Ike, you're totally right. They're letting these people get by. They're taking, get this. I got to hurry up and make this get back to y'all. They have the damn city of Memphis building. It's a brand new sparkling building. They have 8x4 sheets of plywood over every piece of glass there. They have a fence around the state building. They have a fence around the federal building. Nary a guard in sight. The cops are off in the periphery waiting to hassle anyone that comes in to hassle their beloved Antifa and their beloved, you know, feral Negro animals. Dr. Hill, I think you were talking. I'll go right back to you, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, I said years ago that the white race, particularly the working middle class, would be subjected to a pincer movement. To use military terminology, from the top, you've got the white-collar, mainly Jew and Shabbos Goy collaborators in the boardrooms and offices, and their white collars. And on the streets, you've got their black and anti-white, white, Antifa type street thugs. So, you know, they got you from both directions, anarchy on the streets and all the legal ramifications of what they can do to you through their white collar power. But and whites need to realize, you know, they've got the they're the target. They've got they're in the crosshairs, as it were. But let me tell you something. Ike and I were talking earlier, and you know, one of the things that most powerful things we can do is call these people out by name. And obviously, you know, we talk about Antifa and we talk about Black Lives Matter. We need to talk about where their resources come from, where a lot of their power comes from, and that's from the Jews. And you mentioned earlier that those series of articles on the New Red Terror that I wrote for our publication, The Free Magnolia. I can't say any more than this right now, but they are worried about what we are putting out in those articles because it is the absolute truth, and they know it, and they do not want that truth to get out to people. So, you know, when you start hitting that close to the truth and that close to home, it really makes them nervous because we outnumber them. You know, it's just that we don't have the organization. We don't have the focus. We need to tell the truth and bring white people together and get them to focus on who the real enemy is, where it is, and what they're trying to do to us right now at this present moment.
Yes.
I'll turn it back over to Ike.
Thanks. Ike, I'm going to make a quick comment to you, Ike.
Sure.
Ike and Dr. Hill. What Dr. Hill has said, and what you said, Ike, it's a mirror image, a carbon copy of what Archbishop Carlo Vigano said to President Bush in his letter. He talked about Baphomet. He talked about the Freemasons and how they worship Satan. He talked about Salve et Coagula. That's a Masonic term, a Baphomet term, a Satan term. He warned President Bush about the deep state and the deep church turning against them. And I almost lost track of the question I was going to ask you, but I'm going to ask you just a practical question. I'm going to turn it in, and you'll go back to you, Ike. I've been around guns and hunting all my life. If you, either one of you guys, I'm partial to an M14. If you had to recommend a weapon for someone who's not familiar with weapons, and it's a two-part question. I also want to ask Dr. Hill about how we can get 100 of those papers and Free Magnolia sipped out. How can somebody can order 100 of them and distribute them? But don't let me forget that, Dr. Hill. Also, Ike, what would you recommend a basic weapon for just someone, home defense, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay. That's an interesting question, and I can answer it off the cuff, I believe.
Three-sweeper shotgun with a barrel on it, Sam says?
Pardon me?
Sam says, "What? How about a street sweeper shotgun with a barrel on it?
I mean, listen, they're all tools from the toolbox, okay? I mean, that's the best way to put it. Every weapon fulfills a purpose. If a person's going to have one weapon to defend their home, and we're not going to talk about a pistol, okay? I adhere to Colonel Jeff Cooper's statement that a pistol is not an offensive weapon. A pistol is what you use to fight your way to a rifle, okay? A shotgun has its purpose. It's somewhat limited. I won't say if a person's going to have one weapon, it should be a shotgun. I'll say if a person's going to have one weapon, it should be an AR-15, and I'll tell you why that is. That is the weapon that we will see most likely. There'll be ammunition, 5.56 millimeter ammunition all over the place. Spare parts can be accessed. Who's to say who our opposition might be? I'm not going to go down that route in this conversation. But it's fair to say whoever they are, there'll be AR-15, M4s, M16s, and the different derivatives, very plentiful. Now, that's my answer if a person's going to have one. Here's what I'll actually say. A person should have a toolbox. A person should have a shotgun. A person should have a rifle. A person should have pistols, more than one. But now, to go back, you asked about an M14 a few minutes ago, and that happens to be a favorite battle rifle of myself and some of my favorite people in this world. An M14 is an excellent weapon. Okay? It fires a full-size rifle round from a box magazine. It's gas-operated. It's a short-stroke weapon. Spare parts are plentiful. There are some excellent ones on the market. What I recommend to folks, if they're just getting into the platform, buy a Springfield Armory M1A. That's the most common variant that you'll find out there. It's an excellent weapon. If you're a purist, you can do what I did almost 10 years ago. I spent literally 10 months hunting down all 73 parts, and I built an M14 on a forged receiver out of all USGI spare parts from 50 years ago. They were all brand new in the anti-corrosive wrap. So, yeah, when you talk about an M14, you're talking about a battle rifle that fires a full-size round.
Yes.
It's correspondingly heavy, all right? Mine's got a medium-weight barrel. It weighs 12 and 3/4 pounds loaded. That's not light to carry. But
it dampens recoil too, though. Like if it's a little bit heavy like that, it dampens recoil.
Sure,
recoil.
Well,
it got me excited. Now I'm gonna tell you, I was a combat medic, but I'm gonna tell you what, people. Mm-hmm. I never had much respect for the 308 round, the 7.62, whatever it is, NATO, until mm-hmm. I saw that mama in action. Before I even went across the water, so to speak, you would not believe what that mother would do.
Oh, yeah.
It will shoot from now to doomsday, and I'm going to tell you what, it will reach out and touch someone. And plus, like Ike said, you got me excited now. Like, I'm going to shut up, brother.
It's a great weapon. It's a heavy weapon. That's a 7.62 by 51 millimeter NATO round. It's a great round. Okay, if you want a little bit more power, I've got an M1 Garand here that's, we call that now a 30-06. Back in the day, that was just called 30 caliber Army, U.S. military ammunition. These full-size battle rifles, they will turn cover into concealment, and the way those terms are defined, cover will protect you from gunfire. Concealment just hides you from it. It will find you behind your concealment. These battle rifles will turn cover into concealment. But if I can't mind, I'm going to take us back to what's going on out here in the corrupted republic.
One more quick question to you, Ike.
Sure.
Now, you mentioned one of my favorite weapons. We trained with the old M1s when I was in ROTC before I got drafted many, many moons ago. How is the durability? And I hope I'm not interrupting you, but you really punching all my buttons.
Okay.
How does the reliability of the old M1 compare with the reliability of the M1A, M14?
I wouldn't say there's any difference at all. Truly.
I love the 30-06. I love that 30-06.
The only difference, the Garand is a long stroke gas system. There's no roller on the bolt lug that goes into the operating operating rod. You just have to keep that filled with grease. You know, the same man designed both. John C. Garand designed the M1 Garand, obviously, and he also designed the M14. So, you know, the M1 Garand is the daddy of the M14, and they standardized the round in the 50s to the 7.62 by 51. I hear the music starting up.
Well, I'm sorry I interrupted you. I'll have to quit getting so excited. Go right back to you, and I will also let Dr. Hill chime in, too, because he's been hanging on quite a while.
Oh, he's got
be right back, people.
Guns now, all right?
Well, sure he does. I happen to know that the man's got just one of my favorite weapons. People, will be right back with this interesting conversation in just 1 second. I'll put that couple minutes.